The text this morning is coming from various texts, so we'll be going through the Bible. I usually always preach textual messages, but sometimes it's good to have a bit of a topical message. And Brother Matt didn't know, but when he prayed for the cup this morning, he talked about the power of the blood. And that's the title of this morning's message, amen. So the power of the blood that we are under in Christ. You know, there are times in a believer's life when they need a refreshing of their faith. Now, some call it a revival. And as I was looking and reading, I've been looking and reading at revivals throughout church history. But it was interesting that revival is predominantly for God's children. And many have the idea that revival is all about getting lost people saved. But true revival comes when God's people are enlivened with and by the Spirit of God. And that then shows forth as a spiritual progress or spiritual fruit. And revival, you know, it describes God's people returning to Him. See, it's very easy to go through the motions of a Christian life. But God doesn't want us to go through the motions. He wants us to have a real and vital and intimate relationship with Himself. You know, many believers in our time have become complacent in their walk with God, even to the point the church itself is using the world's terminologies to describe sin. You know, adultery, the giving of your heart and body to someone other than your spouse, the world and even the church now says that's an affair. Let's wipe it over a little bit more. Men and women no longer commit the sin of adultery. The world has just flattened it out. They've fallen into an affair. Those who commit the sin of lust, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, are said to have addictions. But it doesn't matter how addictive or whatever the lust is, it is still an enslaving sin. Now, we know the Bible condemns greed and materialism, but in many churches today, believers are encouraged to pray continually to God for more and more and more, and if they just believe hard enough, God will give them whatever they want. And they feel defeated if they don't get from God what they want for themselves. But there's only one thing in the world that can hinder a Christian walking in victorious fellowship with God and being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that one thing is sin. Sin in one form or another robs the believer of that intimate, personal, and vital relationship between them and their God. You see, we can do all the rituals, all the rites, practice all the legalities of being and practicing what it means to be a Christian, and at the very same time miss out on the reality of being in a real relationship with Almighty God. The only thing in the world that can cleanse a believer from sin, the only thing that can do that is the power of the blood of the Lamb. But what is it that gives the blood of the Lord its power? What is the reason the blood of Christ shed on the cross has power with God to then act on our behalf, on the behalf of men. The answer to that helps us understand the conditions on which the full power of the blood can be experienced in our lives, and because of that, refresh our walk with God. And I think if we're all honest today, we might need a little bit of refreshing. Amen? We might need a little bit of refreshing. Think of the blessed work that God's words give to the power of the Lord's blood. Now in Colossians 1:20 we read, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven." You see, the blood of the cross has brought peace between God and man. If Christ hadn't shed his blood on the cross, there would be no peace. There'd be no hope of peace. We have our sins forgiven. We have the gift of eternal life. What more could we need for peace than to know we are right with God and we have a home eternal in the heavens? And then we will not perish, but we will live with him throughout the ages of ages to come. Colossians 1:14, in fact, said, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." I'm so glad my sins are forgiven. I'm so glad that they've been washed away. And when I come to him and ask, I don't have any fear of a rejection or being told no. I have full assurance that if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Through the blood also we have victory over the devil. Revelation 12 and verse 10, we read, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him," that's the accuser, "by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Do you know that Satan is a defeated foe? He's not a victorious one. Or he will like to put the thin edge of a wedge into a home. And unfortunately, we can get a bit stale in our Christian life and we don't recognize the thin edge of the wedge. Just goes in and he goes away for a little while and he comes back and just a slight tap and he goes away, and a little while later he comes back and another little tap and we don't notice it. We don't notice the friction building between relationships. We don't notice the hardships we put upon one another. Then there's another little tap and another little tap, and before we know it, homes are split asunder, relationships are broken, and we wonder why. But when we understand the power of the Lord's blood has given us victory over the devil, we also have the continual cleansing from sin through the blood. 1 John 1:7 tells us, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from some sin." Is that what it says? All sin. All sin. Through the power of the Lord's blood, we are set free to serve the living God. Hebrews 9:14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Have we gone a bit stale in our area of service? Is it something that needs to be revived in our hearts? See, by the absolute infinite power of the blood, the most unworthy have received the liberty to enter into the Holy of Holies of God's presence and live there day in and day out. Hebrews 10, 17 and 18. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Think of that. All of us are able to be in God's presence each and every day, to come before Him, to thank Him, to be grateful to Him, to bring our cares and our concerns, all through the blood, the power of the blood. You see, the blood of the Lamb also gives us a full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, do we need anything more to enliven our faith? Could we want anything more? What more could we say about the precious blood of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, all those things are things we understand, things we believe in, even act upon. But the question is, how do we experience the blood's full power in our lives? Can I be brutally honest this morning? Can I? Because if we were to be brutally honest today, the precious blood of the Lamb is not having the effect that should have in our lives. You see, the sin of not being truly cleansed from our sin in our lives is not happening as it should. The peace that should pass all understanding is not being understood in a believer's life. The life-giving power in our hearts and our spirits is not much more than a flutter. And way too often we find ourselves in the fellowship with things of the world rather than the daily fellowship with God. So what gives the blood its power? Well, it's not the blood of a king. Even though Jesus is King of Kings, it's not the blood of a soldier. Even though Jesus is the captain of our salvation. It's clear and simple. The power of the blood is the blood of the Lamb. The power of the blood is found in the character and the disposition of the one who shed it. His character, His control of giving Himself up. You see, He had the power, He had the authority to settle the sin question any way He wanted to. He could have settled it as a king giving an order, as a soldier going to battle. Yet time and time again in the Word of God, Christ is described as the Lamb of God. See, He was the sacrifice for sin. When an Israelite wanted to be right before God, it was the blood. The blood was the only way. The blood of a lamb or a goat, but we're looking at the blood of the Lamb today. A young lamb had to be sacrificed. Its blood had to be sprinkled on the altar. And when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, before they came out, they went through the plagues, and that last plague was the death of the firstborn. And if the blood wasn't found on the lintels and the doorposts of the house, then the firstborn would die, except they be in that house under the blood. And Exodus 12:3 tells us every man had to take a lamb. says there, a lamb for a house. The verse 4 tells us, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. You see, there had to be a lamb. There had to be the shedding of blood. God ordained it that way from the very beginning. God shed blood to cover the first sin. And here we're told in Exodus that there had to be a lamb. But it wasn't just any lamb. It had to be the lamb. It had to be a lamb that was carefully picked, watched. In fact, verse 5 tells us it was a male of the first year without blemish. But verse 5 also tells us it had to be your lamb. See, there had to be a lamb. It had to be the lamb. But for your sin to be forgiven, he must be your lamb. From the beginning, it's been a personal relationship with the Lord through the blood. There is no other way. See, your lamb, the sin was forgiven by the blood of the lamb. Can you imagine that night in the Jewish home? Had their fire going in the middle of their rooms as they did. The father gathers the family around. I bet the firstborn sat pretty close to his father that night, watching, waiting. And the father would comfort that son and say, no, listen, we're under the blood. And the blood will save us. The blood will keep you. The blood will protect you. And one day, as John the Baptizer was baptizing in the Jordan River, he looked up and he declared, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. All those years they're looking, where's the Lamb? What's happened to the Lamb? John says, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. All those blood sacrifices, all those lambs who would have trembled as the life went out of them. Jesus comes as the divine fulfillment of all those sacrifices. See, the sin of the world would be taken away by the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb. Never to be repeated again, that sacrifice. But the title of our Saviour, the Lamb, has a far deeper meaning, because it's the description of his character. He is a lamb in that he is meek and lowly in heart. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. What a promise. He is gentle. He is humble. He shows no resistance. All the time he surrendered his will to the will of the Father. Why? For the blessing of saving man's souls. Listen, anyone else would have resented the treatment he was given, the way man reviled him. Anyone else would have fought back and retaliated. Anyone else would have resisted what was being done to them. But not God's Lamb. He was in complete obedience to his Father's will. Why? Out of love for us, you and me, the whole world. And because of that, you know what he did? Oppressed and afflicted, he opened not his mouth. Brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, So he openeth not his mouth. Not one bit of resistance. You see, wicked men did as they pleased to him. And for our sakes, he yielded every single time. He didn't hit back. He did not complain. He did not lay the blame somewhere else. And what a stark contrast that is to ourselves. His scourging, his beard plucked right out of his face, that long agonizing walk up the hill, the nails, the spears piercing his body, the shedding of his blood. It would never have happened if he was not the Lamb. He paid all that for my sin, for your sin. And he's not the Lamb because he died on the cross. He died on the cross because he is the Lamb of God. The only Lamb that once for all could take away the sin of the world. Again, Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, this is what gives the blood its power with God for men. It is a humble, meek, lowly disposition. It's the surrender of our wills to God's will. This is what God is looking for from us. This is what gives the blood its power in our lives. So how do we experience its full power? Only as we look to the cross. Only as we look to that cross do we find the answer. You see, it is by being willing to have the same disposition and character that ruled him. See, he served his Father without a complaint. We never heard him say, "Oh, I'm too tired to serve. Oh, not today, Lord." You see, by bowing our heads in brokenness as he did, is how we experience the full power of the blood. And as it was the disposition and the character of the Lamb that gives power to the blood, so it's only as we are willing to be partakers of that same disposition and character of the Lamb that we will ever know the full power of the blood at work in our lives. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." See, we're told here to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That's telling us that we can be partakers of his disposition, of his character, of his surrender, of his humility, of his meekness. 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" And listen to what it says, "But we have the mind of Christ." There is no excuse not to walk and live in the power of the blood, to have victory over all sins in our lives. And by that I mean that they don't control us. When we sin, we know we're forgiven. We don't want to sin. Now, all the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the long-suffering, the peace, the meekness, the temperance, the faith, are expressions of the nature of the Lord. That's the nature of the Lamb, which the Holy Spirit wants to fill us with. And the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is still the Lamb, and He desires to reproduce Himself in us. Because the real question, brothers and sisters, is, are you and I willing for that to happen? That's the real question. If the precious blood of the Lamb is to cleanse us, if we desire to experience its power at work in our lives in its fullest, then we must pray long, we must pray sincerely to be cleansed from sin and have the real peace restored to our hearts. You see, within us all, there's an old nature that wants to stand up for itself. It resents anything done to us that we don't like. It resists and pushes away anything we don't like. And every sin we commit is the result of a hard, unbroken self taking up some attitude somewhere of pride. Oh, how the Christian needs to deal with the pride in their life. Scripture's very clear, pride comes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. And there'll be no peace through the blood of the Lamb until we see that the source of each sin and the attitude that caused it by coming to the cross with a change of our character, a change of our attitude. We come repentant for the cause of our sinful actions. You know what a terrible sin it is to judge another. Now to do that, to come before the cross, to deal with our pride, we must be willing to walk in the light as He is in the light. We must be willing to let God reveal any sin that is in our lives. And listen carefully, if we are truly willing to hand ourselves over and be like the Lamb, we will be asked by the Lord to perform acts that may be costly over what we see as little trivial matters. They're not little and trivial with God. They cost the blood of His Son, His own blood. You see, the importance of these matters we may call small can be measured by what it costs our pride to put them right. There may be a confession. There may be an apology that has to be made. There may be a payment or restitution that has to be set in order. We need to be careful because Matthew 5 reminds us, therefore, if they bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Do you know when someone's offended you and you hold on to that offense and you don't do anything about it, that's a far worse sin than what they did to you, to hold that judgment against them. A far greater sin not to deal with it. You You see, there may be something, brothers and sisters, we need to climb down from and yield up our self-willed rights in that thing. Jesus didn't claim any rights through his trials. In fact, he refused to speak. He had no rights. So what do then? You know, God may show us that we have to go to one who has wronged us and confess to them the greater wrong of resenting them and what they did. Jesus didn't resent anyone or anything done to him. Do we have a right to? We may be called to be more open with our family and our friends so that they may know us as we really are. Because until then, there will be no true fellowship together. We may need to take down the facades that veil us and reveal the true person that we are, warts and all. What husband and wife doesn't want to have true fellowship together? And how can they if there may be a bit of a grudge? Well, he didn't do that yesterday. I wish he'd do that more often. Nothing Christ-like in those thoughts at all. The things we have to do, the pride we have to climb down from, that might be quite humiliating. It could be a complete turnaround for some people. From the usual attitudes of selfishness, self-centeredness and pride. But in doing these things, we shall know true brokenness and the blessings that come with being truly broken. We become partakers of the meekness and humility of the Lamb of God. We will know and experience the power of the blood, the cleansing, the peace and the victory that it brings. What a Savior. What a work. What a God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, I joy in the fact that it is just so simple for us to understand. Yet it's so hard for us with our pride to surrender to it. We ask today, Lord, to refresh our relationship with you. That it not be some rigid, rentimental religion of rules, which always leads to judgmental spirits, the thinking of being better than others, wanting to be served rather than serve. We pray, Lord, that we come under truly the conviction of your Holy Spirit today to surrender ourselves completely, just as our Savior did. And that we come under the cleansing blood of the Lamb and be free to walk in the liberty, the glorious liberty we have in the shedding of that blood. Father, may our homes be rejuvenated and regenerated through the blood. May our spirits, Lord, be uplifted and encouraged and changed through the blood. May our attitudes and actions resemble our Savior in every way. through his precious blood and the power that's in it for his glory and our good. And these things we pray in the precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.